Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now in the house where I grew up, coming in from the garage, you walked into the dining area, which was connected to the kitchen. But in between, sort of marking the where the kitchen was and the dining area was a snack bar. At least that's what my mother called it. I never had a snack there in my life. Ever. Not much of a snack bar. On the one end was my mom's purse, and as you moved down the snack bar, it became the dad zone. It started with his radio, and then it was the ashtray and the coffee mug and the coffee pot and the telephone. There was a wall that separated all of these rooms from the living room, and my dad had a chair, and he would sit listening to polka music, or to crooners, or to big bands, smoking and drinking coffee for hours at a time. That's where he was. When I got into high school, I started drinking coffee so that my dad and I would have something we could do together. It was one of the wisest things I ever did, because it began with just gentle teasing and kidding around about who was supposed to make the next pot of coffee. And it grew into conversations about all sorts of things. One of my fondest memories was of my father staying up with a fresh pot of coffee, ready to greet me as I returned from my freshman year of college for the first time. Dad wanted to talk, and it was wonderful. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is encouraging his disciples to discover in today's gospel reading. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Now, as Jews, they had been listening to prayers and psalms all their lives. They were encouraged to repeat the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, twice a day. They know that those sorts of things are important. They had also heard that John the Baptist had taught his disciples a prayer, which became a distinguishing feature among those who followed John. But the disciples had also watched Jesus go off to pray lots of different times in lots of different places. So they see that prayer is important to Jesus, and they want to learn. And actually, if you look at all the Gospels, this is really the only time where the disciples come and ask Jesus to teach them something specific. Now, the prayers that the disciples have heard and used usually began with the phrase, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe." Now, each of those titles and descriptions are true. God is blessed and loves to bless us and all people. God is our Lord, the one we listen to and the one we follow. God is our God. But God is also ruler of the universe, creator of the universe, all of that. But this collection of titles and descriptions, though, keeps God at a goodly distance from us. It's way more than just arm's length. Now, the disciples may have been looking for just something like that, but today, Jesus encourages an intimacy the disciples had never thought of before. Our Father implies an intimacy with the King of the universe, our Lord, and the one from whom all blessings flow. That's what Jesus was teaching the disciples and all of us right now. Jesus wants us to start drinking coffee so that we can have something to do with God. With the God who loves us, cares for us all, and wants to be a part of our lives, even the normal and ordinary parts of our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to imagine more and more ways that God is better than us, more wonderful, more extraordinary, more magnificent, any of that. Jesus wants us to know that God cares about us like a perfect parent, grandparent, best friend, all of it, always wanting to listen and to help for our sake. Now, the rest of the prayer that Jesus teaches today builds on that intimacy that Jesus infuses in those first few words. God's name truly is holy, and we want to keep it that way. So while we have an intimate connection with God, we also want to make sure that we're careful in using God's name and that God's kingdom is here. When Jesus sent the 70 out as apostles to go proclaim to the people around them, the message he gave them is that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so if we are learning from Jesus through all of his daily activities, showing us that the kingdom of God truly is at hand, if we are realizing our relationship with God, then we also get to realize and participate in God's kingdom here and now. And so Jesus tells us to pray for it. Jesus then moves on to our needs in this prayer. This gives us permission to pray for ourselves and for others. It opens the conversation for us to include our neighbors. But Jesus encourages us to pray for today. Give us each day. Shows us that we need to be concerned about today. And not only next week, or when your next math class is, or when something important is going to happen. Jesus wants us to pray for today. And Martin Luther teaches us that that daily bread we pray for includes food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. It's not just a loaf of wonder, but it's what we need for today. And Jesus knows that most importantly, what we need for today is forgiveness. That is truly our essential need from our foundational weakness. Our relationship with God needs to be repaired. And while we might enjoy an intimacy with God that we hadn't understood, we still need forgiveness for our sin. We need freedom from our slavery to sin. And we need to be encouraged to share that same gift of forgiveness with all those around us. When we are forgiven, we have hope. When we share forgiveness, we share that hope, hope for today. We need that forgiveness every day, like the bread we pray for and the salvation we need from the time of trial. Luther reminds us that God does not tempt us, nor does God set us up to fail. But ever since the fall, God allows the world all the opportunities it has because we asked for it. It's the human condition. And so the devil, the world, and our sinful selves are always trying to work against us. Jesus encourages us in this prayer to pray for the strength to resist, to pray for the wisdom to choose better, and to pray for the strength to love as we have been called to love. The remainder of today's gospel reinforces some of these things that Jesus is teaching us in the prayer. Jesus begins asking us that if a friend came at midnight with a request, would we help our neighbor? Jesus knows us. And although we might grumble, we would eventually get up and help, even if it's just because that friend has been shamelessly persistent. Jesus tells us that God does not grumble. God does not, reluctantly listen or help. Talking with God is not like pleading with your friend, because God is love. And then Jesus compares God to us as earthly parents. We don't give snakes and scorpions instead of food. We know better as parents. God is the perfect parent. How much better will God's gift of the Holy Spirit be in our lives? Because that is the ultimate gift of prayer. The presence of God in our daily lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit. This now brings us to the ask, search, knock part of what Jesus teaches today. Too often people take this to mean that if you ask for it, it will come true. So whether you're praying for a Schwinn Stingray 5-speed bike with the banana seat and the high handlebars, or you're praying for the cancer that your loved one has to go away, many people believe that if that doesn't happen, it's God's fault because we asked. Our prayers are not wish lists and they're not letters for Santa Claus that come true. If we have enough faith, or if we have the right kind of faith, or if we use the correct formula, or if we have enough people praying with us, Jesus is teaching us that we are in a relationship with God and prayer is our side of that conversation. Jesus wants us to know that we need help, and Jesus tells us to ask for that help. Jesus wants us to pray for our neighbors, our relatives, our sisters and brothers in Christ. Jesus wants us to know that God hears us, that God cares for what we care about. But Jesus also wants us to know that God's wisdom is greater than ours. We are told to ask in faith. And if we know that God is the King of the universe and still wants to have a conversation with me, we can have faith that God's answer is never capricious. It is never wicked. It is always filled with love, even if sometimes we don't see that or feel it. As we search for ways to love our neighbor, God is with us. As we knock on the doors that have been closed before us or before others, God is with us. That is the promise of the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength we need to both celebrate and grieve. The Holy Spirit gives us the hope that we need to try again. The Holy Spirit gives us the peace that we need when the world is crumbling down around us. And the Holy Spirit gives us the love we need to survive and thrive and share. Today, Jesus does not give the disciples a genie lamp saying, "Wish away, everybody." Jesus teaches the disciples and teaches all of us that prayer is a tremendous gift that gives us access to the God of love, the God who cares for each of you and all of us and all around us. We can pray while we are angry or grateful. We can pray when we are desperate or gentle. We can pray for all of those around us or even for our own needs. The amazing thing that Jesus shows us today is that we get to pray. It's not something special given only to a select few. It's for all of us. This is our Father to whom we pray. So let us pray. Amen.